All right, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35. The book of John, chapter 6, verse 35. The scripture says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." I want to read that again. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you once again, Lord, thanking you and praising you for this beautiful day, Lord, and wonderful time to be in your house and to study your word. Father, as I preach your word this morning, as I teach from your word, I pray, God, that you would give me the words that you would have me to say. Lord, as always, I ask that your Holy Spirit would lead me and guide me. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit this morning and that each and everything that's said and done will bring honor and glory to you. God, we ask for wisdom and knowledge from your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would mold us into what you would have us to be through the teaching and preaching of your gospel. We thank you, we praise you in all things. We give this service over to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I told you last week, for those of you that were here and a part of it, we started a series of messages that are going. I'm going to be preaching leading up to the Christmas season, or the Sunday of Christmas, if you will. And last week we talked about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We continue that series today in knowing who Christ is. And as I explained to you before, in my opinion, the more we know about Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the more we understand Christ, his office, his will, his purpose for coming to this earth, the more we know and understand about that, the more thankful and the more we can praise him and worship him during this time of Christmas. And, you know, for me, the more I know about him, the more, again, thankful I am. Right now we're in the Thanksgiving season. But the more I want to worship him, the more I want to serve him, the more I want to be obedient to him and submit myself to him. And Christmas, it has become a whole lot more than just a time of gifts, a time of fellowship, a time of decoration. It's become so much more than that because I know more about who Christ is. And every time I go through this, these messages, every time I go through these scriptures, it strengthens my faith, it strengthens my relationship with him, and it really does make Christmas out to be something a whole lot more than what it has been in the past. Amen. I have a new appreciation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming to this earth, being born of a virgin, and the celebration of that during this time of year. So again, we continue through that as the Christmas season approaches. If you're taking notes today, this is going to be the first of six different messages entitled Christ the I Am. Christ the I Am. And as I explained before, we're going to be talking about the I Am messages of Jesus. And again, last week we spoke about the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6 of his book that was written, the prediction of Christ, the Messiah, and the names that he possessed and continues to possess, how that he's not only called these things because he was these things or would be these things, but he is the very essence of these titles that are given. And always has been and always will be, according to what Isaiah says. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. So we'll continue today to explore these things, these same titles, as Christ refers to himself as what is known as the I Ams of John, the Gospel of John. And again, I'm going to be discussing these right up until the time of Christmas, God willing. One of the things that I brought to your attention last week in the names, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, is that Jesus has always been these things. There's never a time when he was not the Everlasting Father. There's never a time when he was not Wonderful or Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. There's never been a time that he was not these things. He has always been these things. So we don't refer to him by these names or by these characteristics because of what he did 2,000 years ago. We refer to him by these names and these titles because he is these things. He is these things. Looking with me this morning, we're going to be focusing on two of the I Ams. The first one that I want to talk to you about is he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And again, that's found in our scripture, John chapter 6, verse 35. We see the context of the verse if we go back to verse 30 and understand the discussion that was taking place between Christ and the Jews here. The Jews asked for a sign and then made reference to Moses giving them bread from heaven to live off of when the forefathers were in the desert. I want to go back and read some of that to you now from verses 30 to 35. It says, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And he says, and it said, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So first things first, Jesus corrects them to make certain it's understood that Moses did not provide the bread in the wilderness. It wasn't Moses' doings. It wasn't as if Moses had power to create the bread. It wasn't as if he gave a command and God listened to Moses. It was quite the contrary. And Moses called out to God and asked, you know, what am I to do with these people? We're here. You know, I've led them out of Egypt. What are we going to do now? I think all of us have probably been in a place in our lives where we're called out to God or we ask God, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to do now? You know, I'm here. I've took these steps that you've asked me to take. What is it that I can do now? How am I going to be taken care of? How is it that you're going to provide for me? Lord, I'm worried. I'm scared. I'm in fear of this situation. So that's kind of where they were at here. And God, of course, tells them in the person of Jesus Christ, he says, you know, it wasn't Moses that provided for you. It was God. It was he himself who provided for the Israelites. The second thing Christ tells them, God will provide the true bread from heaven that will give life to the world. So he shifts from the physical side of things to the spiritual side of things. And he says, you know, not only did Moses provide bread for the children of Israel to eat physically, but it is I that will provide bread for you to eat spiritually. And there's a big difference in that. We know that God provides our needs. Of course, he says it in the scripture that he will provide our needs. But the bread that they were talking about and the bread that Jesus was there to offer was two different things. And God knows their heart. Christ knew their heart in this instance, and he knew what it was that they were asking for. They were asking for substance. You know, we talked about it a little bit in the weeks prior to this in messages, but The Israelites were following Jesus around for a meal ticket. They were following him around for the purpose of receiving bread. As a matter of fact, he had already fed the 5,000, you know, with the fish and the loaves of bread that were in the basket. And in their mind, they're saying, this man is one that we can follow. He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. And we don't have to do anything. In other words, they wasn't looking to be taken care of. They were looking to be lazy. They were looking to be provided for in such a way that they didn't have to work, that they didn't have to provide for themselves. We can be taken care of. We can be given these things of this man. So they begin to question him. They begin to talk to him about this bread. And they said, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? In other words, what's in it for me? What are you going to be able to do for us? Verse 34, it says, they said, give us this bread. Give us this bread that we can eat and never have to hunger again. Give us this bread or this drink that we can drink from and then we'll never have to thirst again. The Jews, in short, wanted to know, what can you do? What is it that you can provide for us? How can you sustain us? How can you make things better for us in our times of trouble? Can you give us something good like Moses did for our forefathers? How many people do you think are sitting in churches throughout the nation right now and probably throughout the world on any given day, and the only reason why they're there is, God, what can you do for me? Not to say, what can you do for me spiritually? Not to say, what can you do to change my life to better serve you? Not what can you do for me in order for me to bring honor and glory to you and what it is that you've done? Not so that I can further your kingdom or further your will, but what can you do for me so that I don't have to do anything at all? How can you help me? Where's my meal ticket? Where's my plan? Where's my debit card? What is it that you're going to do for me, God? Because if you're not willing to do something for me, then I'm not willing to be a part of this. Unfortunately, there's people throughout the world that feel this very way, just as the Jews did. And again, in our scripture, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. That word life means more than just living and breathing and existing here on this earth. Jesus speaks of eternal things. The Jews speak of temporary things. Temporary things. Well, you going to get me that bigger house, Lord? You going to get me that better truck, Lord? Are you going to provide me with better clothes? Are you going to pay these bills? Are you going to make it to where I have more leisure time? Are you going to make it where I have more time to have fun and you take care of all the finances? God, I really don't want to do the work. I really want you to do the work. I mean, the scripture says that you'll provide for me. So get out there and provide for me, Lord. Do these things for me and I'll serve you. I'll serve you. You're not even willing to serve yourself. That's the whole idea of it. The Jews wasn't even willing to serve their self in this instance. As a matter of fact, they were looking to him to serve them. What can you do for me? The Jews were thinking carnally. Jesus is the eternal sustenance. When we partake of him as Savior, there's no need for anything else to ensure our survival. As a matter of fact, again, he's talking of eternal things. When examining the word shall in this text, the Greek says, never not shall hunger. And I know that don't make sense in the English interpretation. Never not shall hunger and no not shall thirst. Meaning hunger, thirst, or need for anything else will never begin. In other words, when we partake of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we partake of him as our God, when we commit our lives to him, when we repent of our sins, when we trust in him, it says that there's never a need outside of him for anything else.
Amen.
Of course we have need to eat and drink. Of course we're going to have to feed ourselves and we're going to have to drink water. If we don't, we're not going to exist, are we? Not, at least not in this form. We're going to perish. But Jesus is not talking about that. And again, the Jews are not understanding this. The Jews were thinking carnally. They're concerned with the corporal things, much like the world today. Give us food, give us water, so we can have our leisure instead of providing for ourselves. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds a whole lot like a lot of the people that are in our nation today. Hey, I'll vote for you. What can you do for me? How are you going to provide for me? How are you going to serve me? How is it that you're going to make my life better? And as long as you're making my life better and making it to where I don't have to do anything at all, then I'm good with that. But the minute you begin to not provide for me, the beginning of trial, the beginning of tribulation in my life, the hard times in my life, then I'm going to break the deal. See, Jesus knew that about the Jews. He knew that if the bread didn't continue to come, that they were going to turn their back on him just like they had many times before. Remember what happened with the Israelites. After a while, it was like, well, you know, I'm kind of tired of bread. I'd kind of like a steak and baked potato. You know, I'm kind of tired of eating these things that you've provided for us. And mind you, think about that. Stop and think about that for a moment. They're in the wilderness. They're in a place where there is no food whatsoever. God is providing them food to survive, and they begin to gripe and to grumble and say, well, can't you change the menu up a little bit? Anybody remember the old saying, beggars can't be choosers?
Amen.
So Jesus is concerned not only with the sustenance of physical life, but more so with the sustenance of spiritual life. He's concerned with spiritual things that extend beyond the temporary things in our life. So as he begins to talk and explain this to the Jews, he begins to go right over their head because they're just wanting their belly to get full. Trust in me and the part of you that's designed to live for eternity, the soul will be filled that you never hunger or thirst again. Jesus is the sustenance. Jesus is the bread that allows us to live for eternity. Just like God provided the manna in the wilderness for them to live and to survive physically, God has also provided Christ, our Lord and Savior, to provide for us spiritually so that we can continue and live in eternity. Amen. Anybody? Amen. Are y'all with me this morning, man? Y'all are sleeping. Come on. The Jews, again, thinking carnally. The Jews thinking about things that are corporal. Jesus thinking about the spiritual things. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, it says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. When we think about Jesus, what do we think about in terms of who he is? Because again, that's what the focus of these messages are, is what do you think about Christ? Who is he to you? What do you understand him to be? What do you understand him and his purpose to have been when he came to this earth? Because here is the purpose. The purpose of Christ, in this instance especially, is to feed you, to sustain you for eternity.
Amen.
See, any of us can come into the church house and sit and listen to the word and know who Jesus is and walk out of here with no more of an understanding than we had in the beginning. But as we begin to study the word and who he says he is, these I am statements, he says, I am the one who can provide these things for you. I am the one who is the eternal bread of life. And here again, once you partake of this bread, you will never hunger again. What exactly does that mean? What it means is that there will be no need for you to partake of anything else spiritually other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We've been talking about it on Wednesday nights, and those of you that haven't been here on Wednesday nights, let me tell you, you are missing a wonderful Bible study on Wednesday nights as we move through the book of Proverbs. Some of the most awesome scripture that you'll ever read and come to understand is in the book of Proverbs. The wisest man to have ever lived, aside from Jesus Christ himself, is the one who penned the words by divine inspiration of God in the book of Proverbs. And as we go through that, as we begin to learn and to understand what it is that God has for us, the purpose and the plan that He has for us, outside of Jesus, there's no need for anything else.
Amen.
No need for anything else. Should you never put a piece of bread to your mouth again, guess what? If you have Jesus Christ, it's enough, because you're going to be sustained for eternity. Should you never put another drink to your mouth and your body perish, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has given you the water of life freely, and because of this, you will never perish. You will never cease to exist, as it were. Jesus Christ is enough.
Amen.
Think on this for a moment now. With that being said, our God loved us enough that He sent His only begotten Son. The celebration that we have on Christmas Day, the celebration, and again, as I've said before, I know that December 25th is not necessarily the day that Jesus was born. I know and understand that. But there's a lot of things that we're unsure of as far as dates and times. That does not change the purpose of why He came. It does not change the understanding that I have of who He is and what it is that He came to do. Do you realize that our Savior separated Himself from His godly throne? He left His mansions on high. He left the eternal and wonderful treasures of everything in existence to come to this earth for the purpose of feeding us that spiritual bread so that we could have eternal life, so that we would be joint heirs in heaven with Him. It should be a reason to celebrate. When we talk about celebrating Christmas, it should not be that we're just celebrating the birth. It should not be that we're celebrating the days off. It should not be that we're celebrating the gifts that we receive. But it should be that we celebrate the holy, righteous God coming down to this earth, humbling Himself before man, becoming humble even to the point of the cross and death, raising Himself again in glorious overcoming of death and the grave, in resurrection for us. He lives forevermore as intercessor for us. He showed His love. He showed His mercy. He showed His grace to us. And because of these things, we have eternal life. Glory to God. We should be singing about it. We should be shouting about it. We should be giving praise on high because He has given us the bread of life. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
This is the reason why we celebrate the Christmas season. This is the reason why we exchange gifts. We're celebrating that He gave us the gift, the bread of life, the eternal bread of life. And once we partake of it, to never hunger again. How many of you have ever been hungry before? I mean, really hungry. Some of you in here know exactly what I'm talking about, that you've been truly hungry. What an awesome and wonderful thing it is to get a hold of something that you know is going to bring sustenance into your life. What a wonderful thing it is to actually partake of it and to know that I will now be sustained. That feeling, that fullness that you experience, it's a wonderful thing to know that you've been filled. And for even a moment's time, it may be just temporarily, but to know that this is not a worry any longer, it's a great thing. Number two, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12 is where he refers to this. If you want to flip over there with me, John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, it says, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I. That ain't the right one. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Holy Spirit just told me to stop. So we're going to pick up on the rest of this tonight. So if you're not here tonight, you're not going to hear, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story.
Amen.
But I encourage you to be here tonight. And let me say this in invitation. Let me say this. If you've never experienced that bread of life, if you've never partaken of that bread of life, if you've never been born again, if you've never experienced that change, then today is the day of salvation. Because here's the thing. Should your body perish, so will your soul. Jesus says in one of the other I Ams, in one of the most, probably the most quoted, I'll say that, is John chapter 14, verse 6, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we're going to be talking about that. But he says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. You want to know why? Because he and he alone is the bread of life. Let's all stand at this time for invitation.